We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Dave Hunziker, Robert Allen with you as we get ready for homecoming Saturday against Texas. The Longhorns, number 6 in the country coming in and riding a lot of momentum. Oklahoma State's on the opposite side of that, trying to rekindle momentum. Robert, I'd be interested to see. Coach Gundy has said on a consistent basis, not only since the K-State game, but really leading into the Kansas State game, that he would like to see things simplified on both sides of the ball. It's like anything, though. It takes time to sort of groove whatever changes you may be making, even if it means you're simplifying things. I hope maybe we start to see some of the positive results from that effort maybe this weekend, because that's been the command sent down from the guy in charge.
You know, and the hardest thing for his coordinators to do in order to fulfill his request of simplifying things. But remember, you're facing a different set of circumstances with every opponent.
Yeah, in Texas, so, and very complicated.
Texas, only in that you have to defend the pass against them. And I'm talking on the defensive side here. You have to defend the pass against them. They're not a heavy run team. You might even get them a little watered down this Saturday, because I think whether Ellinger plays or
Bouchel,
the game plan, Tom Herman said this in his news conference earlier this week, the game plan is going to be the same for either guy. Well, most weeks, no, Tom, it's not. It's different with Ellinger, okay? But because Ellinger has the AC injury, and if he does play, and there's a lot of talk out of Austin that he will, they're not going to run him, because – you know, you throw him out there fresh off an AC joint injury and you run him. I can tell you, I've already heard from Jordan Brailford, Jarrell Owens, and the company this week, and they're going to knock the crap out of his shoulders. I mean, that's just football. You're going to get hit.
So are they handicapped by that?
No, because they're best players, those three receivers.
I know.
And you know
big,
what?
Tall Ellinger, guys, two of them.
I think the reason they just, if Ellinger could throw the football, he's in a rhythm with those guys right now. He's thrown for almost 1,600 yards with those guys. They know where he throws the football. Not that they don't see Bouchel in practice, but right now there's a thing going.
And that's important.
And you want to keep that thing going. So, but yeah, here's the deal. I don't think you have to worry about that much about the run. So that does make Jim Knowles' job of making things simpler, a little easier, because now he can pretty much have a simple plan up front to stop the run, knowing that chances are that quarterback's not going to tuck and go, and he can devise his plan on the back end
to account for the receivers.
Yeah, and I think it'll be simple, but it'll be extensive, and there's a difference between extensive and complicated.
Sure there is.
You can still have a lot of coverage back there and it be simple, and that's what I think they'll shoot for. On the other side of the ball, real quick, tough job this week if you're trying to simplify.
Although
not impossible for Mike Yurcich, because I think you're going, and I've labeled Todd Orlando the mad scientist of coordinators on the defensive side of the Big 12. Remember, for a long time, Mike Leach had that title. He was the mad scientist, and I don't know that anybody has ever been madder than Leach, because did you see that formation he threw out against Oregon last week?
No.
It was like a picket fence of picket fence play with a regular offensive formation. A receiver snapped the ball like you would in your backyard all the way over to the quarterback who was in the middle of the field, but the receiver was on the outside with – three or four players around him. It was Mata, and you remember he had that ninja formation at OU? I mean, that's mad scientist. Well, some of what Todd Orlando does with his defense is a little bit mad. I mean, when he came out last year with that double cloud coverage and a robber safety in the middle against Oklahoma State, kind of made his reputation off that OSU game last year, because he was able to defend OSU in the entire passing game and also take away the signature play, which was the post route over the middle, deep over the middle between Mason Rudolph and James Washington. He had open field coverage, open middle coverage, and closed it with a robber.
Gotcha.
Okay. This year, do you do that? I don't know. And you don't have Mason Rudolph throwing the ball either. And we asked the question with Mike Yurcich in our meeting. He still expects to see some of that because it's been successful, and he used it some against OU this year too, talking about Todd Orlando, the Texas defensive coordinator, and the scheme he came up with for Oklahoma State last year. What I think you'll see, though, is I think you'll see more of his conventional 3-4. He loves his four linebackers. He likes to really mix up where they blitz from, and then he also likes to send a safety on occasion. And it's probably going to be B.J. Foster, the freshman. They love him as a blitzer because he kind of can turn himself into an amoeba and get past the blockers by just kind of a twist of the hips. And those are the best guys to blitz, guys that can really move their hips and kind of skirt through the blocking to the gap. So if you're Mike Yurcich, what are you going to do? I mean, you kind of almost have to – you almost have to be the reverse of an offensive coordinator and say, and this is what a lot of people have done to have success against Orlando. Baylor did it in that last game. Baylor just said, okay, we don't have a play call. We're coming to the line of scrimmage. We're going to see where you're lined up. And then Baylor called their play at the line of scrimmage. And they caught Texas in some bad looks. So, I didn't ask Yurcich that because he does a little bit of that anyway.
Sure.
The check at the line of scrimmage. A lot of people don't know this. Almost the entire second half of the Iowa State game, Cornelius called the plays at the line of scrimmage. So he can do that, and it'll be interesting. They're going to play a nice little game of chess between, and we said this last year, when you play Todd Orlando, you get into a chess game because he's a hell of a chess player.
What makes it adds to that is the fact that, of course, Texas has speed everywhere all over the place. It's hard to hit big plays on them because they'll chase you down.
But you know what? And I Caden Stearns has four picks. He's a Thorpe semifinalist. I know you get that look on your face because he should have been a Cowboy.
I know.
But
you read me correctly.
Here's the thing. Well, he was an LSU Tiger commitment, then came off that. And I didn't even know this. He committed to LSU because Jordan and Jordan Stern's brother, by the way, we didn't make that clear.
Yes, we didn't
Jordan
make that
Stern's
clear.
Brother, Caden, Stud, both, you know, Cibolo Steel. The dad's an LSU fan. So he committed to LSU, and then Tom Herman convinced him to come off that, and he's at Texas now. Either way, we're going to have to face him. But he's a good player, but he still does some freshman stuff. And so does B.J. Foster, and they've got three or four freshmen that are in the two deep in the secondary, and while they're all talented four- or five-star kind of guys, they're still freshmen. They still make mistakes.
Although it is interesting to note, I think they only have
– Baylor did a good job of carving them up a little bit.
They did. Didn't run the ball much, but did some things in the passing game.
See, that's the thing, Dave. I've been adamant about this. If you can get Justice and those running backs involved early
– Yeah.
I think OSU did that against Boise. They did it against Kansas. And I'm not saying Kansas is a world beater, but if you can get them involved and make the defense think about the run game more, heck, even get Cornelius doing some stuff because
sure.
He's capable. Now, I think you unlock a lot of great stuff.
So, okay, now I'm going to challenge you on that. And no, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to challenge you to come up with this answer. It has become so obvious, and not many backs are good at this, but Justice Hill does not function well in congestion. He needs space, and when he gets outside, he can accelerate to the outside. He has great vision. He can change directions. Wonderful, wonderful things. There aren't many backs that deal well with congestion. He does not. I mean, Coach Gundy and I have talked about that. So that being said, how do you get him involved? What are the best ways?
Well, I think you can get him involved with some screen passes on the outside. I mean, yeah, and they did a little bit of this at Kansas State, and it worked pretty good early. They went away from it. I don't know why, but we didn't see a lot of it after the first quarter.
And we didn't. You're right.
And you know what? I mean, if something's working, keep going to it until somebody shuts it down. And I don't know that Kansas State ever shut it down. I'll tell you the other thing, too. And you know, you know me. We both go to clinic. We respect the officials. I think those two calls.
Oh, they were huge.
And I think they flabbergasted the offense. I think they more than they should have, they caused the offense to kind of go into some sort of convulsion or fit. Because they did. The offense started to do different stuff when, hey, even though just keep going, doing what you're doing.
Right, right.
And why change? I know, well, we only got 6 points on the scoreboard. No, you should have had 14, so
should've
keep doing
14.
It.
Yeah, in a short game.
I think it almost tricked OSU's offense into thinking, we got to change. We got to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, we got to adjust when you really didn't need to adjust.
Yeah.
But getting back to your question about Justice, screen game. I'm a big, and OSU's got it in their playbook. They haven't used it a lot, but just toss sweep.
Yeah.
You know, let him, because his lateral speed's excellent. You know what? When's the last time you saw OSU just run a toss sweep?
We don't.
And you don't need to pull. I'm not
saying
pull.
Well, don't you have
anybody.
To do that against this defense anyway?
I think you
can. Because they're basically a bare front, right?
Yeah, they're a bare front. And there's only so many options of what you can do against a bare front. You can run inside. Here's one thing you don't want to do against bare front, which is something we've been doing a lot. Please don't pull anybody. Please don't pull the linemen.
Yeah.
Because when there's five guys up on the front line, those guys are taught. You know, I played in a bare front in high school. We played bare front on defense. And I would even remind, because I was...
Explain to people what a bare front is so that they'll understand.
It's a five-man front. And a lot of people now, like when what Texas really runs is called Cub. And it's labeled as a three-man front. But those ends are stand-ups, so they make you think they're linebackers.
Right.
And that plays into what... Orlando calls his look a 3-4. Well, there's still five guys on the line of scrimmage. Three of them are down linemen, and the two are walk-up ends that are in a two-point stance.
And the tackles are pinched in tight with
exactly,
the nose.
Exactly. And then you have linebackers that are outside those two tackles that are taking care of the gaps between the tackles and the walk-up. Whether you want to call them ends or outside linebackers, that's up to you.
Just think of Broderick Thomas, and that's what you got.
And here's the deal. When you those guys in that line, in that type of front, they are taught to look for two things. A lineman leaving in front of them, in case of, and that's a puller, and they're going to follow the puller, because generally, I mean, you can misdirection a puller, but generally a guy pulls to the point of attack. So they're going to follow the puller. The other thing is, if a guy leaves and you don't follow him, or a guy blocks down on you, you're always taught to look where? Inside. Because if that guy goes out of view and blocks down, you look inside, because there's a puller coming at you. That's a trap. And so, but when you do that against a good five-man front, they're going to eat that crap up. So you got to, I mean, zone. You heard, we were talking to Coach Jersey. He said you can flirt with inside zone or power. Power is when you use a cowboy back, or you get it. I tell you what works good against Texas, always has, and I expect to see some of this on Saturday, is the diamond. Because what do you got? You got five guys up front with two linebackers. So generally, that's going to be seven guys somewhere in the box, mm-hmm. six at least. One may be out detached from the box a little bit. And when you bring those three guys in there, you don't have to pull anybody. You just run them as power guys. Take Britton Abbott and say, Britton, if there's anything in that gap, that A gap, you blow the heck out of it. And then you put, not necessarily Justice, because power is not really Justice's thing, but you can put JD or Chuba,
JD King, yeah.
either one, or LD. All of them are good power runners. And say, you run right behind Britton. Once he blows it up, you step aside, find your hole, and get the heck out of it. But, yeah, I mean, there are things, and those are simple plays. So, and then when you punish them a couple times inside, take, you know, take a diamond where you have Chuba, say, in the back. Chuba would be the best guy for this. And you got two guys up front, and you've shown them power out of the diamond. Now, at the snap of the ball, you turn like you're doing power, and then the quarterback just flips it on out there to Chuba, who runs wide for a sweep, or Justice. Because yep. that's a Justice thing. Yeah, I mean, and those are simple plays, but they work well against Texas.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
I hope nobody from Texas listens to this, because not that this is what Mike, not that this is what
the game
Mike Yurcich will do. This is just kind of what Robert Allen would do.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and they do listen, and we're glad they listen if they want to know kind of what's on our minds. Although
I like to watch Todd Orlando's defense. It's fun because he has an imagination. And so many defensive coaches these days don't. You know what? OSU's coach, Jim Knowles, has an imagination.
He does.
It's just maybe, like you said with the head coach right now, too much imagination.
Well, and on the defensive side, it's such a drastic change. And really, personnel-wise, it's similar to what we went through. Well, it's not similar, because that transition was a lot easier than it should have been with Dana Holgorsen coming in 2010. You know, we had to up our receiver numbers because suddenly you weren't using tight ends. And, of course, we used fullback with the diamond. But it's even more true here that you just aren't quite personnel-wise exactly where you want to be. But we knew that in the springtime.
You know, and here's the – I mean, I don't want to give away my who you got. I'm leaning toward an interesting who you got right now, and I'm not certain I'm going to go there, but think of who might be an interesting matchup in the passing game against Texas. If the ball gets to him, he catches it, and he's developed and matured a little more from what we've seen, because he had a drop in the second half against Kansas State. Oh, yeah, the big man. He could be an interesting matchup against Texas, because – they're not. Yeah, I don't think they're used to covering anybody like him. And I watched him on tape against Baylor. Baylor's tight end had some success.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that Jelani, you know, and you know what? I think Jelani is pretty decent for as much as he's played there at this level.
Sure.
And I see the light starting to flicker on for him. He could be an interesting X factor on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be. It very well could be.
Because when he catches the ball and goes, he knows how to run.
Sure.
Oh, shoot, in the open field? You know, the funny thing is, I think in the open field, he and Taylor look a lot alike when they run.
I'd say you're right. There's a lot of truth to that.
Taylor would make a great cowboy back as a tight end, catching passes.
He would, as a matter of fact. What makes you think, as we kind of head toward the home stretch here, what makes you think there could be dramatic improvement this week? Does anything jump out? Just the bye week, the decompress time? That's a loaded question.
Yeah, and to me, there's one area and one area only that really, really has to improve. And if it'll improve 10 to 15%, I'm not talking about 50, 60. If it just gets 10 to 15% better, it could be dramatic in the offensive line.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I think, I'll tell you what, first of all, I have a great amount of trust in Johnny Wilson. And Johnny thinks they did some good things in the open week. I'm going to trust him because I think he's the one guy that, you know, I would take him and he could play on my offensive line, period. He was good last year when he had to jump in at both guard and center.
You bet.
Okay. Here's the other thing. I'm real interested in seeing what Larry Williams does on Saturday.
That makes two of us.
From a human nature standpoint, because has he underachieved this year? Absolutely. Now, he hadn't been the worst guy on the offensive line, but he hadn't been nearly what he should be. For his abilities and his experience, he should be a lot more. For some reason, I don't know, he's had a daughter in the offseason. Yeah. His mom had been ill. Well, now we know she passed away on Monday. Okay. Strife like that can cause a person to go a lot of different directions. I mean, he may come in and he's playing. He practiced this week. He's going to play in the game.
Yep.
I don't know when his mom's service, memorial service, or what they're doing. You know, nowadays, some people really don't do services as much.
Or sometimes they wait and have
a memorial. So it's different. Whatever, he's here and he's playing. Okay? He's either going to play like an all-pro and start blowing Longhorns up left and right, because he's going to be motivated to the hilt. You know, he loves his mama, and I think he does. And her passing is going to be a tremendous source of strength for him. Or he's going to puke. He's just not going to do anything.
Yeah, which we, you know. Right.
So I'm anxious from a human nature standpoint.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's
I agree.
The deal. The reason I do this, I don't think any of us are getting rich doing it. Although I do appreciate it, Uncle Kip. I do appreciate the check. One of the reasons I do this, I love the kids. I like to see how they do, how they improve, and all that.
It's fun to watch them grow up.
It is.
It's unbelievably rewarding to watch them grow up.
My eyes are going to be on Larry Williams to see how this young man responds in a week that saw him say goodbye forever to his mom. That's a big deal to anybody.
Sure it is.
And I want to see how he responds.
It changes your perspective. And sometimes you just can't pull yourself out. It's just too much, and it's hard to function. Other people kind of look at it and say, well, don't take anything for granted.
No.
Let's go. You know, you just don't know. And it's not – that don't mean that in a judgmental way, because everyone grieves and manages those situations differently, and it's just what anyone's particular characteristics are. So, yeah, I'm interested to see
that. And that's a big part of it. I mean, we like to talk X's and O's on these things and all that, but at the end of the day, a big part of our job is human emotions, because this is an emotional game.
Well, it's all
and
mental.
And these kids and how they respond, and that's a big part of it. So that's why I'll tell you another guy. You brought it up. We were talking about your appearance on an Austin radio station previewing this game. And you said...
Don't talking, say what I... Yeah,
no,
let's not
talking
go there.
Talking about Taylor Cornelius, I tell you what, I'm impressed with him, because he's either really good at blocking out everything around him, which I think he probably is pretty good at that, and he's extremely mentally tough, because fans have blistered
him. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, yeah, to the point that it's ridiculous. So I always look at Taylor to see how he responds, and, man, I'm impressed. I've been very impressed with Taylor Cornelius.
I agree with you on that front,
now,
for sure.
I'll admit, he's physically a really good athlete. The one thing I think that he lacks a little bit is that, you know, fire and brimstone kind of leadership
this
factor
team,
you
this
need.
This team might benefit from that.
And he really is more the quiet, quiet guy, quiet leader. And the other thing is on offense, you're labeled best player on your team as a quiet guy in Justice Hill. So I really think the spunk on the offense comes from Johnny Wilson, and the offensive line hadn't been a real strong position. And then I'm just trying to think. The next guy I'd label as a leader, and he's young, is Tylan Wallace.
And, you know who else kind of falls into that category is Dylan.
Yeah.
And could perhaps even more as time progresses, yeah, and certainly next year.
Yeah, I'd like to see Dylan be.
Because he's that way, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I'd like to see him be more of a bad A, you know.
Understood.
People don't realize that. That was Mason Rudolph's role. A lot of people didn't see it, but, I mean, I did at times. Mason on the sidelines, and we didn't talk about this on the break, because, you don't want to. Call out a guy calling out a teammate. Mason was not opposed to getting in a guy's grill and saying, you do that again, you won't play. I mean, Mason was he wasn't the coach, but he was the chairman of the board when it came to offense. And he was not above getting in a lineman, a receiver, running back. I mean, he was extremely demanding as a quarterback.
Well,
which is not bad if you can get away with it. If it's done the right way, you can do it. If it's done the wrong way,
it can be a disaster.
There's a mutiny on hand. Yeah.
Well, we'll have a little mutiny on Saturday with the Texas Longhorns.
That would be great if we have a mutiny, because that being the other thing, I don't know how much football you watched on the open weekend.
I watched some.
But, I saw ABC had their cameras in West Lafayette, Indiana last week.
Yes, they did.
And they saw a big blue blood go down. I realize Texas is just now getting back to being their blue blood self, but I kept thinking during that game, boy, I'd sure like to see a show like that in Stillwater.
Well, and we'll talk about this a fair amount Saturday, but the team that has handled them better than anyone during their downtime is Oklahoma State. No team in the Big 12 has won 6 out of the last 8 against Texas except for Oklahoma State. So, as I said in the open of the broadcast, a little tease, Texas feels like it's back, but they haven't beaten Oklahoma State yet, and that's the team that's consistently beaten them. So until that occurs, you probably can't quite go there yet. But they're a heck of a lot closer than what they were.
Yeah,
and Oklahoma State's not the same.
And for OSU fans that are going to be at the game, don't leave at halftime, because Texas really hasn't been able to beat anybody and dominate them. So
they should have buried K-State.
They've played a lot of fourth quarter games, and let's see the Cowboys get into a fourth quarter game with them, and it could be fun.
If I remember correctly, 4-1 for Texas this year in games decided by a touchdown or less. The previous 3 seasons combined, 3-12. So there's your turnaround in a very small snapshot. That's Robert Allen. I'm Dave Hunziker. We'll talk to you Saturday at 5. This has been the Cowboy Radio Network podcast.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.